468, where yesterday we learned the pasuk via smul ami lo yev yikoymeim mimul salma eder tafshitud me'ovrim betach shuvim mulchama. We learned yesterday two perushim. We learned more than two perushim, we learned many perushim. We learned from Rashi and the Mitzudos. We're up to the Radak. The Radak pasuk ches says via smul. Remember, we learned yesterday two different perushim. The word via smul doesn't mean yesterday. It comes down to two different questions. Does it mean yesterday? And the word v'yesmul is like a smile, or does the word v'yesmul, the main focus is esmul, that which is opposite, that which stands in contrast. Either it means, like as Rav Kalman said, it means a different perspective, or does it mean this that you are dealing with, the tsarais and the chorban that you're dealing with, which is opposite you? That's another translation. I guess you would take the word v'esmul and break it into two pieces. V'esmul, this that is opposite you. Or Kalman says v'esmul on the other hand.
No, I think Rabbi Nel just plain. He said, he gives it one line. He says, Shuber or Kalman.
It's all the same. Makes sense. Yeah, that's what the Mitzvah says. It means, esmul means yesterday. Okay, let's see over the Radak. The Radak says v'yesmul is b'shurak. K'moy b'cholam v'chein b'shurak ki aruch me'esmul tofcha. We have a makor, we have a precedent, Yeshaya. Yeshaya says that Gehenim has been arranged from long ago. Aruch means it's been arranged. Me'esmul from yesterday. Tofcha is another word for the pit, or it means Gehenim. Gehenim, as it created before Chazal said in Ben Hashmoshes, it's been around a very, very long time. Omar ha'oyev, Omar, kama, ha'oyev haba lechem hayoyim, din u'mishpat hu. He's giving a whole new interpretation. The enemy which is coming upon you today, this, in other words, this that you are suffering today, you deserve it. You deserve it. Why do you deserve it? Ki ani zeh. Because this nation yesterday was an enemy, my nation, Klal Yisrael, was an enemy to the weak, feeble people. You would rise up as an enemy against the impoverished, the people who are vulnerable, and you would rob them. V'dinhu, therefore, it's mida keneged mida sheyavoy ha'oyev aleichem mida keneged mida. Okay, so the Radak just taught us in a new interpretation that no one said until now. We learned until now the word ani lo'oyev yikamim means that my nation is an enemy against Hashem. Rachman l'tzlan. That we now have, my nation says that I, Hashem, are your enemy. Okay, let's review the two perushim. The two perushim was either ani lo yev yikoymeim, my nation argues that Hashem is the enemy of Klal Yisrael. Being that my nation does not know how to make sense of the difficulties that they are dealing with, they argue incorrectly, falsely, that Hashem is their enemy. So the subject of the word oyev, according to what we learned yesterday, according to, I believe, the Rashi, is Hashem. Hashem, there's a claim being made that Hashem is our enemy. The other interpretation we learned in the Mitzudos is it means not you're an enemy. The Jewish people in yesterday were successful, and they were able to squash and obliterate oyev, their enemies. Thus, the word enemy would refer to the enemies of the Jewish people. Radak is giving us a new interpretation by telling us the word oyev means that you, the Jewish people, are the enemy of the vulnerable, the poor, the meek, the weak, people who are vulnerable. You are their enemy because you take advantage of them. When did you do this? You did this yesterday. The esmul. Only yesterday, Ami, did my nation rise up. Lo'yev, Yikomeim, would rise up like an enemy and take advantage of the people who are vulnerable. Yeah, that's how he's learning.
That's an interesting point. He said the enemy is other Nevi'im or Nevi'im Sheker. They're telling you things that everything is going to be all right. That's your enemy. He says, listen to me. What I'm telling you is real. What you've heard from other Nabiim is a lot of baloney.
So he's saying the Esmul Ami Lo Yehi means that you listen to. Yikarmei means you are follow. You're a follower of the Nevi'ei Habal, who are the Oyev Hashem. Okay, it's another interpretation. Very interesting. Okay, Yikarmei, the word Yikarmei over here, some grammar is the Poyel Oymei, this is an active verb. V'char Voisecha Akarmei, I will rise up, I will cause its ruins to be restored. So here it means in Poel Yotze it's an active verb. So here it means that you, the Jewish people, only yesterday have risen up, have taken advantage of the weak and poor. Mimul. Now, how does he learn the words Mimul Salma Eder Tavshitun? Okay, Mimul means opposite. We had different perushim what this means until yesterday. Here he learns V'atem and you. Oimdim Mimul Salma Tovla Shatiru Laani Shaloi Veshaisa. You stand in the street and you watch a fashion show. And you watch all the people walk down the street in their nice clothing. And anyone that you see has a nice clothing, you steal it from them. You stand opposite the nice clothing. So you see a poor man wearing a beautiful garment. Tamdu mimulo, you stand opposite him, leharaloi ula hafshitoi hasalma shahisa ederloi. And you deny it from him, you steal this that was an eder. Eder, I guess, means another word for a garment. You rip it off his back. Mimul kumavuhu yoshe mimuli. Okay, this is by Bilam said to Bolok said to Bilam that nation of the Jewish people, they are opposite me. I'm afraid you like that they will swallow me up. The pastor says like an axe eats up the grass and pulls out the roots. Eder kmohu
opposite.
Yeah.
Could mean opposed to, right? In opposition to.
Okay. But over here, but that's another interpretation, right?
The powerful person stands, instead of helping the other, stands in opposition to the...
Instead of helping him, he's saying that he stands on the other side, on the wrong side. Okay, what are you saying? So you're saying that really, just play on the words, that since the goal of the goal is to help the poor, not to be on the wrong side, not to go and cause them harm. Okay, Vadoni Avi Zal Perish Kane. My father, Rav Dak, often quotes his father. He says, "Okay, what do we mean over here? So, I guess it means over here is that they would take a collateral. The Torah says to return the salma. The symbol of the samba, I forgot the exact words of the past, that if you lend a poor man money and you take a pledge, his garment, make sure you return the garment in the morning when he needs the garment to go out to work. That's another halacha. That's a
shreka. In Devarim, you have the word salma again.
But there in the part of the thing it says actually the word salam by the case of the mashkan.
Oh, okay,
there's another example, okay. Okay, so there the base out of this is a mass, so they tell him Hamas. Poor man. A person borrows money and you take from him the pledge. So here's what's happening. We're picking up on the words of the pasuk. Not only do you not give back the pledge when you're supposed to give back the pledge, you go in and you take another pledge. You take away his eder. One more time. Perish hayu chayvlim salma mibeis ani bavur hamas. They would chayvlim, I guess, means they would withhold the collateral from the poor man because Balvur Hamas, now he's saying it over a tax, I'm not sure what he means over here. The Oimrim, ki ain't die bimashkun zeh.
He owes back taxes, and then so they
So they take a pledge. And what's the pledge? The pledge of the Torah, the word the Torah used for a pledge is a salma. He takes a cloak. And they say to him, this is not enough. That means to strip naked. The poor people who think that they are secure. And they go back home to they walk in the streets. They had no idea when they walk out of the street that they're going to come home naked. They thought they're going to the store, they are safe and secure. And then what happens? The end is they come back home naked. Why? Because someone meets them on the street and says to them, listen, you owe us back taxes. Not only are you not getting back the collateral, we're going to take the clothing off your back right now. Then may we go further. It's not even enough that we took away your salma and your cloak, your other cloak. Then they evict him from his home. They foreclose on his home. And that's what it means over here to the pasuk. There's another pasuk. The women of... This is the next pasuk. This pasuk test is now. He's now going in. He's leading this pasuk. He's leading in the pasuk test. The women of my nation, they are driven out of their homes, of delight. Me'al oileleha tikhu hodrei le'olam. From upon her children, they take my glory le'olam. Hadar nachalasi. That what does it mean? The hadari. Hadar means what's the last two words of this pasuk? Hadar nachalasi. The splendor of my. Okay, that's another interpretation. But over here he's saying over here is Hadar Nachalasi Shehin Chaltem. He's learning over here in the next passage according to the Radak is the word Hadar means the Nachal. It refers over here to the land. Okay, Hadar Nachalasi Shehin Chaltem, which you have inherited. Tikhu me'al oilaleyem, you take from the children, Shayu Nistarim umiskasim sham. You take from the children which are nistadim umiskasim sham al zetz ukulcha minachalosi. Okay, the children. One more time.
He said this is their nachalah. Their home is their nachalah. And by taking it away, he deprives the children of what they would have had.
Their inheritance.
They
would have inherited. Exactly. Tichu mial oilaleihem. Shahayu nistarim umiskasim sham. They would live in this home. Al ze tzukucha minachalasi. For this, all of you will leave because of this terrible avera. The mida kenegin mida will be that you will be denied. You will be evicted. Kumu uluchu, get up and uluchu ki lozos hamenucha. That's gonna be the next pasuk. In other words, over here, there's an entire sequence. There's an entire sequence of sukkim going on over here. Is that because of these averos? Because of these averos. Okay, so we have over here a sequence of events. We have over here according to the Radak, there's a sequence of ideas. Because a person is not satisfied by with just the salma, he takes also the eder, and then when that is not sufficient, he takes the bias. And now then Pasuk Yud goes on to say, Mida, Keneged Mida, you, the entire nation, will be driven out of the land. Okay, that's how he goes. Now he comes to Targum Yonasan. The Yonasan tier game, Mikavel Choy Vehoin Ami Livel Devava Mesirin. Let's leave this part out because I'm not really sure. I didn't prepare this part. This is very difficult for me. I'm not sure what it means, so let's leave that out for now. Let's now look at the Malbim. The Malbim on Pasuk Ches, page 469, verse small. The Imken Lama es Ami Mul Ami LaOyev Yikoymeim. Why is there going to be such a thing against my nation? LaOyev Yikoymeim. So the Malbim is learning from the Pasuk. The word Oyev means the enemy of the Jewish people is now currently rising up to send them into exile. Why is this punishment coming upon the Jewish people? The answer is Achashe im hayashar halech divarai yetivu. After that, Hashem is good with. After that, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is yashar with those people who go in Hashem's ways. The eichad divarim ho'ela atzmam hatavim yakumu mul ami litzar v'ayev negdam. According to the Malbim, he's not really explaining over here what it means. Word via smol, he does explain. He's explaining over here is why is the enemy coming to attack you? The way the Malbim seems to interpret the pasuk is that if you indeed are following what it says in the pasuk, that you are going, if it's really indeed true that you are good people and you are going in the ways of Hashem with Yashus, why then are you suffering? So the Ribbono Shel Olam and Pasuk Ches coming to respond and tell us why this is happening. And the reason why it's happening is because pretty much it seems to say the same exact thing we had before in the previous pasuk, according to the Radak. It's because of your averos. She'atem tavshitun me'ovrim betach b'derech es salmo sehem bi'aderesh shehem lovshim ad shehem b'mim kivshu milchama. You take advantage of people that are walking on the street and you take away their clothing. Ki tivlu al ovrei derech lulchem itam l'shol eshlolam kasher yishtu es ha'minutzachim ba'milchama. Just like you you despoil, you remove all of the wealthy assets from your enemy when you defeat them. Mul hadvarim haroim ela yekaimu devarai loyev. Because of these things, that is why yekaimu devarai. Now here is the key words of the Malbim. It rises up my words loyev. Okay, in the very last words of the Malbim, he explains the words ani. And he learns, I think, pretty much like we learned yesterday in Rashi, that my nation has made me into their enemy. I am your best friend. I am your friend. I'm not your enemy. Why do you falsely accuse me of being your enemy? What's a now? And the Malbim explains, what is the accusation? The accusation is that we are good people. We are people who are haloi divarai yetivu im hayashar hoylech. People fool themselves in thinking that they are following in the ways of Hashem, and it's patently false. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're wrong. You have to realize via smul, the reason why all of these tsarais are coming upon you is because mimul, it's to correspond. It's mida kineged mida, salma eder tavshitun me'ovrim betach shuvim elchama. Because you are ganovim, because you abuse innocent people, you take away their clothing, and you transform people who were betach into people who have been defeated. That is why you make this false accusation and say that I'm your enemy, I'm me, my nation, lo yev yikoymeim. They rise up and accuse me of being your enemy. Okay, so this is the interpretation of the Malbim. All right, so we have pretty much the Malbim and Rashi are pretty much similar, and many of the commentators are similar. They have just a little bit of a different twist of how to translate the words. The crux of the issue is, what is the word v'yasmul? Does v'yasmul mean yesterday? Does v'yasmul mean milosh mul? What is opposite you? Ami Loyev Yikoyim, does that mean that my nation is making me into their enemy? Does it mean that in the past, that my nation in the past was successful? They were able to conquer their enemies, and now they're finding it to be very difficult. Or does it mean V'ani Loyev Yikoyim? Does it mean that my nation, they are sinners? They are guilty because they rise up against the vulnerable and people as their enemy to steal their assets. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk test the Shei Amiti Garshon. How would he explain this pasuk? How would he? He would probably say, you're all right. There's no doubt about it. Michal would say, you're all right, and guess what? I'll give you another 20 perushim, what I really meant to say. For sure. Pasuk test. Nishay, Ami, Tigarshun, we continue now describing the crimes of Klal Yisrael. What are the crimes? Women, they drive out the Nishay, Ami, Tigarshun, Mibes, Ta'anu, Geha. They drive out of the homes of their delight. Me'al, Oileleha, from upon their own, their children, Tikhu, Hadari, Le'olam, they take my splendor, Le'olam. Now, at the end of the Pasuk, so that's the hard part. Hadari. So we learned the previous from the Radak. The word hadari means they take my land. Tikhu hadari le'olam. The children were meant, the way that we just learned this pasuk, the Radak gave us an advanced perush on this pasuk and pasuk ches. And he already explained to us that in his understanding, the pasuk here means there are women who are living in a home. The home is hers. It's meant to go down to the next generation, to her children. These evil people, they come and they say that you owe back taxes. Therefore, it's not enough that we have taken your collateral. It's not enough we're going to take all of your metalton, your possessions. We're now going to foreclose on your property. We're going to drive you out. And therefore, the oilalim, the young children who are destined to take possession of this property in years ahead, now will be denied. The hadari means the land. The land is the beauty of the world. Eretz Yisrael is the nachla. That's called the hadari. It's a borrowed term. Or if you want to say it's milashon dor. Milashon dor. Dor means to dwell. To dwell. Hadari. It's not just the dwelling. We're adding the hay, which is hodor, which is beauty. So there are two words that are really joined together over here to give an explanation of what this word means. That this, they take away hadari, my beautiful possession that was given to this woman, le'olam, forever. There is a crime that is taking place here by causing women to be driven out of the home of their delight from while they are with their children, me'al oileleha, and by doing so, you're taking away the land that was meant to be their possession from them and pass on to their children as a heritage, le'oilam, forever, because now it's not going to go down to Yerusha. But obviously, there's a lot more going on over here in this pasuk, and even before we see the Mefarshim inside, it's not something not to be ignored that the word over here is tigarshun. There are many different words to use to describe eviction. The word tigarshun has a very negative connotation of divorce. Divorce. You're causing, over here also, why over here are we describing only women? Why are we not discussing a poor man? Where is her husband? What is going on over here? Is she an almana? What? Yeah. Shalach. Tigach lach.
That's what they're doing here.
Ah, and the shei, so you want us over here is the shei ami tigarshun. Send away the women. Wow. The base from her nest, me'al oileleha, and then from her children. Now the children are going to cry. Tikhu hadari le'olam, you are taking away my splendor le'olam. Okay, and how does it follow through the end of the pasuk? That's going to be left to see a little more fascinating. You're saying an incredible chiddush. This over here is an allusion to Shiluach HaKein in the human form. And not in a positive way, but in a negative. Okay, so we have to keep that in mind. We have to go see the Mefarshim. We have to come back. That's fascinating. Totally, that very, very fascinating. But over here, let's not ignore the fact that over here we're dealing with women. The first question over here is, why are we only women? Why women? When we learn Pasuk Ches, and it says over here, Ami, let's learn according to the Radak. Ami lo yevi kamein. My people have risen up against the vulnerable like an enemy. The government is your enemy. They're coming to collect taxes. You don't have what to pay. They'll take away all of your possessions. You don't have what to pay. They're now going to repossess your land, your property. My people, they rise up against the vulnerable like an enemy. Mimul salma, eder tavshiton. Okay, you have to put a comma there. They were only supposed to take a salma, and instead mimul, in contrast to taking only a salma, they took something even more. They took the eder. They remove from the person's body. And then what do? The oivim betach, people that in the past were secure, now they are defeated. It really sounds more to me that end of the pasuk, psychological damage. The beginning of the pasuk is you take away their physical possessions. You only were entitled to take away a small amount of money. It was not enough for you. So you manipulated the law. You manipulated the situation where you, instead of just taking away the salma, the simple garment, eder tafshitun, you stripped them naked, you took away their more expensive assets. And now, what is the result? The result of what you have done to them in total is not just that you've taken away from them, you've taken away from them their property, you have harmed them psychologically. A person who had a healthy mind and lived a life where he felt that he was secure, betach, now feels like he is defeated and vulnerable, as if a war has ended and he has nowhere to go. That's the word you always hear today when you read about children, about children, abused children. That word will appear in any article that you will read about these type of situations. They'll always say the most important things that a child should feel: secure. Okay, does that sound familiar?
Yes.
From any article you've ever read? A child, the first goal of a parent is to make sure the child feels secure in his environment. Abuse begins when that sense of security has been damaged. And it all starts there, when no longer does he feel secure. And isn't it amazing that Micha was way ahead of his time? Way ahead of his time. He writes, Ha-holchem me'ovrim betach, people who live a life, they feel secure. They have been abused. They have been abused. Their sense of security, they feel any moment of their whole life. That's what they say. That's what it says in these books. Is it true or not? I guess it is. Is it a little bit exaggerated? Sometimes, maybe. But it seems that there's a lot of truth to it. A person who's abused when they're very young, their entire life is always looking over their shoulder that someone's going to abuse them again. They can be 50 years old, they're afraid to go into a bathroom. They're afraid. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? You're 50 years old, in the last 45 years, nothing happened to you. Well, when I was 5 years old, something happened to me, and that incident damaged my sense of security permanently. Child's mind is wet cement. Once the damage is done, we don't really have it. We don't know how.
Too.
What?
It's adults also.
Adults to less a degree, but I mean, okay, yes and no. Obviously, everyone is different. You can generalize. You cannot generalize. Every single person. Every single person is different.
Right.
Everyone has different sensitivities, different times in their life, different matzavim. Absolutely, but children, especially more so than anyone else, they're very, very vulnerable, and the damage is much greater. And we didn't come to that yet. But let's appreciate these words. It's a very, very fascinating expression based upon today's society, where today it's such a big thing in society. It's all over the world today. These concepts, these principles, is abuse, and the Iker abuse is the psychological abuse. And the terminology they use today is really straight out of Micha, ancient terminology. People, you want to give a person in their life a sense of security. Ha-holchim betach, mishuvi milchoma, there is no greater sense of lack of security than people who have been defeated in a war. They have no idea what's going to happen to them. Now they may be killed, they may be exiled, they may be tortured. Who knows? they have a sense of shuvei milchama, the psychological damage. And here, according to the Radak, according to all the other parts to some degree, Klal Yisrael are being accused of being criminals as bringing about this damage upon the weak and vulnerable in their own society. And because of that, what?
Like more criminals.
Like, yeah. And because of that, now the next pasuk, now in this pasuk that we just read, pasuk Ches, does not deal with women. It deals with anyone. It deals with who's the victim. Anyone. Doesn't say a woman. And now in pasuk Ches, for some reason, we focus specifically on noshim. We don't focus on widows. Doesn't focus on yisoymais. It focuses on women in general. Neshei amiti garshun. The women have been driven out. The choice of language of tigarshun, which is the word that is used for divorce, opens up a whole new connotation. What do you mean divorce? What does divorce have to do with abuse? Could very well be that's all that there's something we have to see in the Farshim, but just keep that in mind. There are many words we can use to express an idea of a person being driven out of their home.
Right.
The fact
the same term is used when it comes to Adam and Chava from Gan Eden, right? Or from
all right, okay.
It's not the wrong term.
You can't say it's wrong, but there are other words. It's not the only expression. And especially when you use the word in this word only in connection with a woman, like in this pasuk here, Nishay Amiti Garshun, Mibes Tanugeha, there's something else here is going on, a little bit more that has to be understood. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk Tes writes, Nishay Amiti Garshun Mibes Tanugeha, Shatem Hargim Es Balein. So Rashi explains, why here are we dealing with the women? Because the men, they kill their husbands. Then Yoishvois Almanois. Rashi is teaching us a chidush. Now when it says the word Nishay is just a synonym for an almana. It's difficult because the pasuk really means almana. Why didn't the pasuk say the word almana? Oil lefishatem neitlim es mama and baleen, veim yeshim umeitzirim, vein misamchem es nishosehin. Another interpretation. The reason why it says noshim is not because they are widows. It's the husbands cannot gladden their hearts. They don't have parnasa. That's the rule. That's the rule you always read about. The number one rule is the shalom bayis depends on one thing only: parnasa. There's no parnasa. There's no shalom bayis. Someone comes to a marriage counselor for shalom bayis issues. The number one question, the first thing on the list of that marriage counselors are trained. The first thing is, what's your financial situation? Is there money coming in? That's the first thing. You don't even start to have a conversation with the marriage counselor. What? If the husband does not have a parnasa and the couple struggles to survive, that answers why there is no shalom bayis. That's where it all starts and ends. If there is a parnasa and there's still a problem, okay, that's where things get complicated. But if there's no parnasa, then there's nothing to talk to. You come to the wrong place. Don't come to a marriage counselor. Go to a job employment fair to get a job. And then when you have a job and there's money coming in and you still have a problem, then we can talk. Okay, this is like Dvarim Pshutim Ad Ma'ayt. So it's exactly what Rashi says. Rashi over here says is, what does it mean? Why is there divorce? I think that's really what he's saying over here. Neshei amiti garshun, mibeis tanugecha. I think that's really what Rashi over here is saying. Why is it now that there's a high rate of divorce? Rashi says. You know why? Because the men don't have parnasa. Why don't they have parnasa? Because there are wicked people out there in society who have taken advantage of them and stolen their their assets, their money, or their destroyed their businesses, or just ruined them in whatever type of profession they were involved, and there's no money. And if there is no money, what is the natural consequence? divorce. There's no shalom bayis. Nishay amit yigon. I think Bernie Lander once said, he says that, I don't know the exact words, but like he says, he's going to Olam Haba because he created Turo, which gave Parnasa to countless B'nai Torah. The B'nai Torah don't want to go to college because whatever, you can go whatever it is. But they need Parnasa. So he made for them a kosher in their hashkafa, a kosher college. Kosher college. It's only men, only women, no apikorsis being taught, no this, no that. Totally watered down. It doesn't have any of the issues that B'nai Torah find to be problematic in attending a regular college, a regular secular college that the Umayyad Olam are familiar with. And by doing so, he gave them the tools and the ability to have parnasa. And therefore what? So what? Shalom bayis. So that's a tremendous thing. Just that alone, to give a person, I'm talking about Avigdor Miller. Avigdor Miller says, what is the definition of a friend? A true friend is someone who teaches you how to make money. That's his definition of a true friend. Oxford Dictionary definition. A friend, someone who teaches you how to make money. What do you need money for? If there's no money, there's no shalom bayis. There's no shalom bayis. Nishay ami tigar shun mi beis tanugeha. These wicked people have stolen man's ability to earn a parnasa, and now Rashi says the natural consequence is he's going to be divorced. Back to the Rashi. Rashi atem hargimus abalim oyvinyashon. O lefisha atem noitlin es mamon baleyen. You take away their money, you rob them. Vehem yoshvim umitzeirim, and they are in a state of pain. The ain misamchim es nishay, saying they cannot give joy to their wife. You know, I know of a story recently. It's a frightening story. A person married many years. He lost, and you know, married, everything is fine. I saw the couple in action many times. He looked fine to me. I don't know. You don't know what's going on with someone else. But he lost his job. He lost his job and did not have a job for a very long time. And then just got divorced. And everyone is shocked. And why did he get divorced? Because he didn't have a job. He sat home with his wife the whole day. No, it's more than that. It's clear as day that the loss of the job is what clearly led to the divorce. Rachman Litzlan. Tikhu hadari. Hadar hoyd ve'oysher shenasati lohem. You've taken away from them the hoyd ve'oysher. So according to the parish of Rashi, Rashi, the word hadari is beauty. The hadar, the splendor, hod, two words that mean the same thing. I don't know the difference between these two words. The oisher shnasati lohem. We're going back to complain against all of the wicked people in Klal Yisrael. You're causing very great harm. You're causing tzaros to Klal Yisrael by taking away, by robbing, and by robbing people. You've denied them. You've taken away their hadar. Or if you want to say, if you want to darshan, speak homiletically, is the hoid. I think Chazal actually used the word that a wife is a person's beauty. If I'm not mistaken, there is such an expression in Chazal, Ezehu hoidoi shel adam, it's zu ishtoi. Such a Chazal that says, what? Ois v'hodo levusha, that's levusha, that's her clothing. But I think it says somewhere in Chazal that the person's beauty, the person's hoid v'hodar, is his wife. And if a person is not able to support a wife, is not able, the wife is the teres habayis. If you cannot bring in income, every income, to keep the bayis running in a healthy way, it will lead to strife, it will lead to divorce. So in essence, when you deny, when a person ruins his fellow man and prevents him thus from making a parnas in the future, in essence, you've taken away from him his hoid, his wife. You've denied him. One thing leads to another. How many times do you hear such stories like this where a person's been disgraced, a person committed a crime, and he was caught, and it's extremely embarrassing. And then you hear shortly thereafter they got divorced. So when the person was accused of the crime, so you have to ask yourself, you know, that's always a big question, was it worth it? Was it worth it to publicize and go out in such a public way to destroy this fellow, which would ultimately lead to such a thing? There was, today you have this, always have this dilemma where people are guilty of crimes, all different types of crimes. Abuse, gneva, gazela, all these type of things. You know better than me all these different stories that are going out there. And then they're caught. And the question is, to what degree should society, secular society, okay, talk about the police, talk about the laws, rabbanim in the Jewish society, to what degree is it correct in every given situation to say that the crime is so great and the fellow is a danger to society that it is 100% it's a proper for us to publicize this villain, even though we know good and well the collateral damage, that he will be disgraced, his children will be put to shame, wherever they go, they're going to have to bury their heads in shame. It will very likely lead to a divorce, and a wife that did nothing wrong, she will now be also a very big problem. Where is she going to have parnasa from? What's going to be with her? Is it the proper thing to do? And these are very, very difficult questions that people, not only by Jews, deal with. Someone comes to the police department and says, I want to make an accusation that this person molested me. This person molested my child. So what do you do? What do you do? You have proof? Do you need proof? Is it enough just the person's word enough to automatically blow the whistle without concrete proof? How much proof? Is he a danger? What is he doing now? Where is he now? Is he still in the classroom? We already retired. He's already somewhere else. He's already retired. He's another. How do you deal with this? Is it really worth it in every situation to go public? Very, very, you need grace of places. You have to know a guy's in the classroom and he's abusing children. There's no question about it, of course. The guy's a threat to everyone around him. The guy's already 70 years old, 80 years old, and now you want to go be mavazim. Okay, that's right, you know, you got to pay for your crimes. You got to pay for your crimes. But you realize, by being mavazim, you realize, you know, he still has time left in this world. And he has a wife. And he has children and grandchildren. They have nothing to do with this. Is it really the correct thing, both from a secular point of view and from a religious point of view, to proceed and be megale the crimes of a person now when he's not a threat? Or you want to say leman yeshu v'iron v'lo yizidun oid? We're making an example. Justice has to be served. There are victims. Justice has to be served. People in society have to know that this is not tolerated. I don't know what the answer is, but one thing is for sure, it's not a simple matter. Yeah?
I'm not sure. How did the Torah cause marriage? Ki kach ish isha. And then shechina benehem.
Came.
Ki tikhu. You do the opposite. You take it. Instead of like I said before, with the Shiluch HaKen, they do the different. Megashim Ota. So Megashim Ota Kadosh Baruch Hu. They chase away the Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Very good. You're saying that there's another word. Rav Kalman here is going to point out there's a third word here that's critical to the equation. It's not just Noshim and the principle of Gerushin. There's also tikhu hadori le'olam. Ki yikach ish isha. The term the Torah uses for marriage is kicha. Kicha, kicha, mistei Ephraim. Kicha. And that word over here is also being played with in this pasuk, being put together. instead of allowing an ish, kiyikach ish isha, you, by abusing the koyach of kicha for yourself, you're causing someone else's kicha to be damaged, which results in the noshim are being going to be tigarshun. Fascinating. Beautiful ideas. All tali zedis. Words go all together.
Excuse me. These days, young guys before marriage.
No. I don't want.
Why not?
No. Let's go. You're not. That's not a good place to go to. Okay. Let's go. So we went over here. There was Rashi. No, we did not read the words of the Mitzudos David. Mitzudos David pasuk tes. I skipped by mistake. Tigarshon mi beis. Tanu gera, goizlim bate chemed umigarshin hanoshim kol achas mi beisa. The thieves, they steal property, and they cause women to be driven out of their homes. Asha yasho misaneges bog derch isha chashuva l'sheves bayis lehis aneg b'tzel beisa. A woman likes a nice home. Okay, women know how to decorate their home and to beautify their home. When a person commits a crime and steals someone's property, you're causing them to give up what they enjoy. A woman enjoys dressing up her children. Okay, she like a doll. You dress up your children, put earrings on them when they're only, 3 months old. It's already time to pierce their ears. So you can put on earrings. I don't get it. I really don't get it. I go since the Shabbos.
Only
on earrings? No. Even the Kalta Litvax. I don't get why they pierce these little innocent children in their ears when they're like when they're 3 months old. Who are you trying to impress?
Vavodolio.
Ritzoyna Loimar. Hadar ha'isha she'shpati lo l'kashu l'lecha hinei tavshitu me'aleim l'kachas l'atzmeichem ad oyla mibli chachazora. You do these terrible things. You hinei tavshitu me'aleim. You're taking these things for yourself, never to return again. Mitzvah is very, very straightforward. You just come to me, you're committing a terrible crime. You are committing a terrible crime by taking away all of their assets. Okay, let's see over here the mitzvah, the radak. Radak and Pasuk Tes says Nishem Mimti Gorshon Akiyach Kol Achas Viachas Nishem Ami Viami Heim Hoaniim Kumayim Kesef Tal Vesami Omar. Over here he's saying a chidush that the word Nishay is not really referring to a woman. The word Nishay refers to a poor person. Every person in Klal Yisrael is poor, is in the category of a Nish. This example over here is called for whatever it's called Nishay. Omar. You are causing the poor man to divorce his wife. No, he's saying that. You're causing the poor man to divorce his wife from his home. You enter into the home of the poor man to cast upon him accusations and to rob him. Now he's saying something entirely different, coming to explain over here what's going on between the man and the wife. Not like what we said until now, is that when there's no shalom bayis that leads to divorce. We're dealing over here with adultery, or at least a suspicion of adultery. When the poor man comes home and he sees there's another man in the home with his wife, and he sees shiyavay ha'ani v'yimso echad mikem bibeisai im ishtai, yachshoid ishtai, Vigorshena mi beisai. Vine hu ki ilu atem migorshim oisa mi beis ba'aloshu bebeis tanu gera. Over here it's saying there's some criminal activity taking place over here, is that people over here are doing things by coming into the home of women to talk to them, and by doing so you are shaking up the shalom bayis ben ish le ishtoi. Nothing here to do with money. The issue over here is that you're a wage in their relationship. I think that was the halal I was referring to. This principle, what is beauty in this world, we're coming tomorrow to Tu B'Av, tomorrow is to lo hayu yamim tayvim li shol kechanisha asa ba'av v'chiyam ha-kipurim shabhem b'nois yishol yoytzos bakramim. The Jewish girls would go out into the vineyards and they would dance in a circle, and the young men would go out to watch them and to look at them dance, and they would select for themselves wives. They would look, what happens if one guy sees a girl he likes and the other guy says, I saw her first. She's mine. I saw her first. How did it work? What were the rules of engagement in this type of activity, which today would get you into hot water for the boys to go out into the vineyard and to watch the girls dance, right?
One of the girls was in similar white
clothing. White clothing, they would borrow one from another. So they already dressed in the wedding gowns. They're all ready to go.
And they say, look at them, beauty, look at
is
them.
That the Makar, is that the Makar for a white dress by a wedding? So one of the most difficult questions, where does it come from, the Min of Yisrael, that a Kala dresses in white? L'chayra, the only Makar comes from, many want to say it's a Goy Sheminik. Open up the books on the Suin, and they will say, we cannot find all of our research, we cannot trace the source of the Minik for Jewish brides to wear a white gown. It was something that was done by the Goyim. And it would appear at face value, that it is taken from non-Jews. Non-Jews are the ones who invented this thing to wear a white gown at a wedding.
Symbol of purity.
That's right. So
and the Jews...
They don't have a patent.
What?
The Gemara says, Tamid HaChachamim wore white.
They don't have a patent on a symbol of purity.
It says women wear big day tzivoinim. Big day tzivoinim. Colored clothing. That's what it's... You buy for your wife... The word big day tzivoinim is used by Nashim. It is interesting, today women, it's not, they teach them in the classes of tznius not to wear clothing that's too bright. Tone down. But doesn't it say, I think it says somewhere they wear big day tzivanim, which means bright, hot pink, okay, red. Today they tell them in the Beis Yaakovs, you don't wear a hot pink dress. You don't wear a red. You don't wear a hat.
But there was a takanas of cap to cap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be.
They said that women were not allowed to wear
bright color clothing. It stands out too much. I don't know, but where does it come from?
L'chayra,
I don't know what the problem is. L'chayra, the makar comes from Tu B'Av. That b'nois Yisrael yoytzos b'kramim, and they wore big day lavan. White. It says they're explicitly in the Chazal they were white, and this is all for the purpose of getting married. So why can't this be the source why, when it comes to getting married, the appropriate color to wear is white? The women wore white. Doesn't say the men wore white. So the women were dressed up in white, simple white garments. So you see that white garments were worn in the process of getting married. All right, let's go further.
Without any dirt, without any avera, without clear from there.
Okay, that's another interpretation. You want to say another idea? Let's go further. Me'al over here he says Mashu Hadori Liolam Bahu Chibor Ish in Mishtai. The Hadar is marriage. Lifrois, look at his beautiful words over here. He writes over here on page 471. Lifrois the Lirbois. She Yitzartia Mitzela Adam Vitzivisim Pedu Urvu. Over here he's getting very emotional, the Radak. He's adding all these things into the pasuk over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded man and woman to be together, to multiply, peru revu. Woman comes from the tzela, from the rib, v'yatam, and you, tikhu oisoi hehadar. You are a ganef. You took away that beauty. What's the beauty? Shehu hadar chavoid kamo she'amar, yichvoid ha'ashem li'aylam yismach ha'ashem v'masav, ki kasher seder habriyo is'al seder tikhu nasam. When the world is operating the way it was meant to be, and v'tzirasa muhu kavoid hakel yisparach. That is the honor of Hashem. V'aleim, and when that is correct, then yishabichu bnei adam v'yifaharu. He's coming over here to explain. He's adding a lot of bear over here. First of all, he's coming to explain what it means in the past that we say every single day in davening yihi Chivoid Hashem Li'olam Yismach Hashem B'ma'asav. What is this pasuk mean? So he explains that the honor of Hashem is when everything in this world is working the way it's meant to go. It's meant. And then when things are operating according to the original plan, people have joy. Okay? David, please. People make too much noise in here. People, they praise Hashem. So here as well, Hodar, the Radak is suggesting, is the same thing. When things are meant to go the way properly, this is the Hodar of Hashem. Hashem created the world, part built into creation, Hashem said to man, Peru Urvu Umilu Esaretz V'chib Shua. This was built into the beginning of creation. When you come along, when a criminal comes along and disturbs, damages the marriage of man and woman, he's disturbing the natural way of the world. And when the way of the world has been damaged, then Hashem's hodar, yismach Hashem, the joy of Hashem, is disrupted. Thus, here we cut to the chase and we right away go to the word Hadori, you're ruining my Hadori. The Radak over here is really going way, way out. He's taking this word, Tikhu Hadori Li'olam, and he's saying the only way you can understand what this word means, these three words mean, is you have to understand what it means in the Pasuk, Yichvoid Hashem Li'olam, Yismach Hashem B'ma'asav. And he's telling us a Chiddush that the word Yismach, joy, is the equivalent of hadar. Hadar means beauty. A person has joy when he sees something beautiful. That's the given. That's the way the Radak is building upon his entire idea that he's presenting here. A person has joy when he is in the presence of things that are beautiful. When does Hashem have joy in this world? That's principle number two. When the world is operating according to the plan. What is the plan of this world? Well, Hashem made a man. The most basic fundamental plan in this world is a man should get married. That's the most basic elementary plan for this world. Hashem created a man. Hashem took the tzela out of this man, made an isha, brought the isha to man and said to them, Peru Revu Umilu Esaretz V'Chib Shua. This is elementary, the elementary form of creation. If that goes according to plan, then we go back to principle number one. When the world operates according to the way it's supposed to operate, immediately Yismach Hashem B'Ma'asav. Hashem has joy, and joy is the same thing as according to the Radak Hodar, beauty. What are you? You're a criminal. Hashem, the pasuk over here is addressing the criminals. You're a criminal. You've taken my plan of man getting married, and you have damaged it by sticking your head where you don't belong, causing there to be a machlekes, causing there to be a divorce. You've disrupted the plan. If the plan is not going to go according to the way it's meant to be, then I no longer can say about myself, Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. I no longer have joy. So what you have done in essence is tikhu hadori le'olam. You've damaged the hadar forever through your actions because the plan is not going to go the way it was meant to be. Okay. Then he brings down over here the Yonis and Tir game. Kineshas amit tisorchun mibeischel. We'll leave that out. I do not know what that means. So we'll leave that out. All right, we'll stop over here.
Destroyed Hashem is going to be also the get near grazing of the people. No le'olam. For a short time, not any time.
Children feeling secure. Gave me the thought. Why was Miriam Bathetz Tzatzah so Meirachot? It's her advice. caused them a child, a brother Moshe, and caused their parents to make a decision to put him in the Yamsa. She feels guilty that this may have been a bad idea. She was very nervous. She's feeling if they get rid of one, who knows what will happen. They might get rid of me too for whatever tzaris might happen. There's a feel of lack of security. She wants to know if this is going to work out. Her parents were so motionless all her life. When she knew her parents. And now, for some reason, they made a decision to get rid of Moshe, which the Abarbanel makes a point of saying, but they made a decision, they might all get killed at the courtroom. So now, what is she feeling? So makes that Tava put some more hope for her own peace of mind, because she felt so guilty that she wanted to know what happened. That's why, and of course, the answer. Could have said Miriam. Secondly, why did she Hashem going? Why did she say it? Because she finally felt that this had an outcome. Moshe took them out of Mitzrayim, and now she finally felt at ease with nothing coming down.
Was he changing what message
put it right in the whole lap? Not for the same reason that Moshe
passed me a.
She was a different that her advice came to fruition. That's why she felt so
connected.
That's what I mean. People will be triggered. That's what she
was saying. What's the purpose of getting the girl?
No, but that's nothing to do with it.
And if you will allow to marry a second wife,
you never saw the letter to set up. This is the setup.
I just thought of it. If you allow to marry more than one wife, so the married guys can also come and watch the girl dancing, or is only guys who are single? Yochai was only guys who were single.
I have no idea.
I went yesterday to
in a slightly less severe form. I know a little bit of French.
Now I said, sure. Why not?
Signing and I personally translate, sign, or other language. I know enough. They're not really hitting it on the head. They're a little bit. They don't even know aware of it.
Anyway, it's a hidden mitzvah.